morning.
Morning. Morning.
Will you actually join me for a quick prayer? Gracious and loving God, we just sang in Cornerstone about how it is in our weakness that you are made strong. God, I come before you. I feel your presence here. Lord, I know you are with us, and I know you have a word for us this morning, so let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my lips and my heart be to glorify you. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us the things that you would have us to hear. Pray all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So somehow in my life, there have been two times where I've ended up being the only girl on a team, on an all-guy team. The first time was when I was in kindergarten, and, you know, it was supposed to be like that. Everybody who's, you know, five or six sign up for t-ball and learn how to play t-ball, but I was apparently the only girl that signed up, and so I just, you know, ended up playing with a bunch of boys. And the second time was, I don't know, 13 or so years ago, when we were at our first church. And Gordon and I, we found out that there was a church league in that town, and Gordon and I had been on church leagues before, so we're like, well, we'll get a team going. We'll play together. But I didn't know that, I don't know if it was officially in the regulations or not, but it was like kind of an all-male league. It was like unofficial, so they let me play, but it was literally the only girl who played in the whole league. And so they had me play catch, and at the time there was a man named Jim. Jim was the pitcher, big guy. And one batter got up in one particular game, I don't think I'll ever forget, and he did one of those crazy, the batter popped the ball straight up, and it was like, you know, straight, you know what I mean? It goes straight up and it's coming straight down. So I'm going like this, and I'm thinking, okay, it's in front of the plate, I can grab that, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, I am on my butt in the dirt. Because Jim, the pitcher, also went for the ball, and neither of us were looking at each other. We were looking at catching the ball, and down I went. We've been doing this series here at Crossroads Church called Family Feud, and talking about, man, it's great to be in relationship, and God calls us to be in relationship with each other, but it's not always easy, is it? And I loved the first week Pastor Gordon brought us into this idea that sometimes, and especially in the Christian world, Christianese, we get this idea that somebody out there has it all together, and we're supposed to, like, figure out, the like, Christianese thing to do is to figure out how we're going to get it all together. And Pastor Gordon reminded us that God does not care so much about our perfection as he does about our process. I loved that. The next week we talked about communication, and one of the things I drew out was that our communication with each other can literally change the course of our relationships. And then I thought it was funny last week, Pastor Gordon, he talked about because I said so, and the funny thing is I couldn't remember the name of the title, but it was because I said so. And this week, we are looking at, do I have to do everything myself? If you want it done right, I love that. If you want it done right, do we have to do it myself? And I don't know about you, but this is a particularly convicting topic for me because I have a personality that's really okay being independent. I'm kind of fine doing it on my own. I'm pretty extroverted. I like to be around people. But if I have to do it on myself, you know, by myself, or if I have to go it alone, that's fine with me. So this idea that God is inviting us in to something that we're supposed to do together can be really challenging for some of us. And I think there's three things we tend to do. One, if we don't feel like things are coming together the way we feel they ought to, men and women do this, so we give women a bad rep for this, but I think men do this too, we tend to nag, right? Are you ever going to do this? Is this ever going to get done? Right? Or we just say, forget it, fine, I'll do it myself, it's easier anyway. And often, if that's the path we choose, we become resentful. Well, why am I the one who has to do this all myself? Right? Or there really is a third option, and the third option is it just doesn't get done. And then somebody's mad and creates chaos, right? I mean, do you remember in school, and I remember having this in college, which really bothered me because I thought by this time I should be done with them. But do you remember having group projects? And you had to work, you know, you're given a project and everybody on the team has to do something. And I remember hating them because I'm like, I don't want to rely on somebody else for my grade, right? For my final product. And I remember this one particular group project for our class in college. We got together and we had a great time. Everybody had some beers. And at the, you know, end of an hour and a half, we had nothing accomplished. And they decided, okay, here's your test. So not only did I waste my hour and a half not getting anything done, I still had a whole bunch of work to do when I went home, right? I mean, and sometimes we feel like that in our relationships with each other. We feel like that in our relationships in our marriages. We feel like that in our work relationships, in our neighborhood relationships, and even in our extended family relationships. And these things can leave us feeling frustrated, bitter, and alone. How often do we carry the weight of loneliness because we feel like we're the ones who have to do it all on our own? We're going to turn to Nehemiah today for some encouragement. Now, Nehemiah is one of the prophets. It's probably not somebody you think of when turning to encouragement, but Nehemiah, he was in an interesting time because, if you may or may not know a little bit about the Israelite history, they were often attacked, right? The Jewish people were often attacked, the Hebrews were often attacked, and so the story picks up. I'm going to be in Nehemiah 4. Just a side note, if you need a Bible, there are some on the back table. You are welcome to one at any time if you'd like to follow along. I'm in Nehemiah 4. And the background with Nehemiah 4 is that the wall of Jerusalem has just been destroyed. And Nehemiah has sort of taken it on that they're going to build the wall. And in the beginning of the chapter, the Samaritans and the Arabs and all these different groups around them are mocking them because they are using stone that has been burnt. And I thought it was so great that we just happened to be talking about the cornerstone and how God can take things that seem broken and seem used, and he can make good out of them. And that happens in this story. And so they're mocking them because the Israelites don't have time or resources to go get new stones, so they're using the burnt stone of the rubble, the wall that has just been destroyed. And so Nehemiah responds like this in verse 4. He says, "Then I prayed, 'Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here and in front of the builders.'" And then it goes on a little bit more. I'm going to skip down to verse 10. "Then the people of Judah began to complain. 'The workers are getting tired, and there's so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves.' Meanwhile, our enemies are saying, 'Before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and we will kill them and end their work.' And the Jews who live nearby the enemy came and told us again and again, 'They will come from all directions and they are going to attack us.' So," Nehemiah responds, "So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by the families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then, as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people, and I said to them, 'Do not be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers and your sisters and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes.' And when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them," I love that, "God had frustrated them, we all turned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half of the men worked while the other half stood guard." The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on with their work, with one hand supporting the load and with one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeters stayed to sound the alarm. So in this case, Nehemiah is faced with mockery. And he responds by saying, "Do not be afraid of the enemy." Instead, he turns to God and he creates an intentional plan of how to work together as a team. I believe that's what God is calling us to do. He is calling us in our relationships. He's calling us in our families. He's calling us in our workplaces. He's calling us in our neighborhoods. And church, he is calling us to come together, to do not face the fear, but turn to the Lord and create a plan to work together as a team. So we're going to look at Team T today. And each letter stands for something. So T-E-A-M-T. So the T for team is to trust. Right? Now, working in that group setting, I didn't know if I was going to trust the other people in my class to get their work done so that I could have a good grade, right? But in our relationships, if we don't trust the people that we're in, how are we going to accomplish a goal together? And sometimes it may mean trusting Jesus first. It may mean saying, "Okay, God, I don't know if I can trust this relationship, but I know I can trust you, Jesus, so you bridge this gap. You step in this place. I trust you, Jesus, you can fill in the rest." Second is to evaluate, the E-T-E. E is to evaluate. Take a look around what is working and what is not. Nehemiah, he looks and he says, "Okay, what do we need to do? The enemy is going to come and attack us. We need to set up a new plan. How do we evaluate in our lives what's working and what's not?" Okay, so I don't know if you guys have not had a chance to meet Tom. He is back there working on the sound. He also volunteers with the youth. Fantastic. The youth love him. And on Wednesday night, he brought this game for the youth to play. It just happened that we had five boys and five girls, and so we split up into these two teams of girls against boys, and then he had all these cards for the kids with the books of the Bible, and the game was to see how many of the books of the Bible they could put in order, right? So guys against girls, and it was fascinating as I watched, because the boys, I'm not trying to pick on boys, but this is just how it worked out this particular night. The boys were, like, all for themselves, right? Like, each of them was trying to updo the other one, and they were, like, kind of arguing. And then the girls looked over here, and they had created a plan. And they were communicating to one another. They were talking to each other. And you watched, and they've got this nice, neat row of all the books being lined up. And they won the game because they were together. And the boys ended up spilling half of their things on the floor. I mean, it was just like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy, right? But when we go about these things in our relationships and we think that we're just going to sort of be for ourselves, it doesn't work, does it? We have to evaluate what is our common goal? What is our purpose? What are we working together towards? T is trust, E is evaluate, A is ask. If we don't use our voice to ask, the other person may not know what we need. I started to say, I don't make a very good mind reader, right? Like, have you ever thought that? Like, I don't know. You have to tell me. I have to ask for what I need. And if we're going to ask, we also need to respond. Right? The other person saying, "This is what I need from you," in your work setting or in your relationships and your extended families. We have to be willing to respond to that, to listen, hear the other person. We may not like it, but if we don't start with asking and responding, we can't understand how we're going to work together towards a common goal. And finally, I hope this is the most free. The M stands for making. It is okay to be a team in the making. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's a lot easier to stand on the sidelines of a game and cheer them on and go, yes, my favorite team. It's a lot easier to do that than it is to be the one playing, right? Now, when Jim and I both went for that ball and it was smacked on my backside, we had the same goal. We had the same purpose. It was to try to win the game, right? That was our common goal. And we wanted to make that out. But we didn't know where our position was. Whose ball is this? Is it mine because it's in front of the home plate, or is it his because it's in front of the pitcher's mound? We weren't clear, and that's okay, right? Like, you evaluate and you look back, and it's okay to be in the making. Even the most professional athletes out there, even the top players of any game, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, the coaches are continually looking back and reviewing plays, going over scoreboards, looking at their players, talking about what we can do different, what can we change, what can we make better. It's okay to be making a team. It's okay to be in process with this. But I believe that God invites us to come together. We are Team T. We are Team Trinity. We cannot do this without the work of God. We cannot do this without God, our Father, Parent. We cannot do this without our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we cannot do this without the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit actively at work in our lives. I came back from something this past summer. And before this, I mean, it had been months, weeks, maybe even like a year or so, that daily I've been able to wake up, turn to Jesus, come back into his presence, and walk through my day in the kingdom of God. And I came back from this particular thing, and it was like altered. And I kept praying, and I was like, okay, God, I know you're there. I know what it's like to walk in your presence. I know, how come I can't, like, why does it feel so hard to get there? And finally, I had a chance to sit down with one of my mentors, and she said something in the middle of that conversation that absolutely broke me. And I just was flooded with the presence of the Holy Spirit again. And I was like, okay, thank you, but why did it take so long, right? And I'm like, God, you know, why didn't you just tell me directly? And he said, because I needed you to hear it from her. What she had to say was pivotal. I need you to understand that she's a part of your team, that you're not meant to do this alone. We are invited into relationship with God, and he wants to bring about further, deeper connections and relationships with each other. He has purpose for us doing this together as a team. I said, God, why? Why do this as a team? And he said, because you cannot understand how to love someone, how to fully love someone, until you've learned how to rely on each other. Until you've learned how you need each other's gifts. Only then can you understand what real love looks like. Only then can you understand how I can pour out the completeness of my love on you. Church, God is ready. He's ready to pour out in your relationships. He's ready to pour out in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, in your extended families, and in your families. And he is ready to pour out in this church. Because we are a team learning to be loved by God and how to love each other. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Melissa. So last Saturday, I happened to be at the races visiting with another business owner in the community, and they asked me a simple question. They said, when do you think you'll ever have a building? Now, of course, we have plans of, it's always an interesting question because we believe that God has called us here to have a future ministry center to bless this community, to be a valuable asset to this community. But the thing about faith is it requires that stepping up. that we don't always know the timeline, we don't always know when all those pieces are going to fall into place and fit together, and yet God invites us on this adventure to step out in faith. Well, one thing that I've been paying attention to lately is here at Crossroads, we believe that God is starting to pull some of those pieces together, that God is starting to move in this community, to move in this church, to help us get to that point. We believe that as a community that we are on the cusp of probably the next wave of growth to come to Elkhorn Market. Being one of the hats that I wear sitting on the Chamber of Commerce, I get to hear that monthly update from the city in terms of what's happening in terms of progress and future developments. And we know that things are just kind of right on that edge, like a shift here or there, and we'll see all kinds of new homes come up. There's dirt that's moving around. There's roads that are going in, and we believe that God is ready to grow this community. We also continue to, we see that God is calling people. God is speaking to people, giving people words of wisdom, giving people visions, giving inspiration of what that future ministry center might look like. And we continue to be in conversations with city staff, with landowners. I think I was talking to somebody the other day. It's like, you know, I've got a different idea for each piece of property that's on the market, or different ideas or rumblings of what this could look like, depending on what opens up. And we have been blessed with generous gifts along the way that have helped us set aside money for a future ministry center that we could better use to serve this community. And so Wednesday night, I was meeting with somebody during Bible study, doing a little Bible study after our Wednesday night program, and the text for Wednesday was Luke chapter 8. And so Cheryl did this as well. And as we were reading through Luke chapter 8, I mean, it's packed with all kinds of wonderful things. There's the parable of the sower in there and all this. But what really stood out to me was the first three verses. And I don't know if I've ever really read Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and paid attention to this. And if, as I read this, you're going to say, yeah, I'm not sure what you see here either. So it says that after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news that about the kingdom of God. The 12, that is the 12 disciples, as we know them, were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. I found that one interesting and wondered how much of an influence did she have on Herod as a result. And many others, it says. Now, these women were helping to support them out of their own means. All right. Why does that stand out to you? Okay, here's what just kind of jumped out to me from this text. Is that when I read this, I didn't often think about these women that were mentioned here, but Luke draws special attention to the fact that these women were the ones who were making the miracles possible. That without these women, without their financial support, this ministry would not have taken place. These women were called to step up and to help build up the church by sharing their part. And in a way, you could say that they paved the way for the rest of the miracles that we see in Luke chapter 8 to happen. I thought, how amazing. Luke highlights the fact that, you know what, they weren't just doing this on their own. Like, there were people who were called up, and they played the supporting role in the background. And Luke lets us know about this. I'm not sure if any of the other Gospels really tell us about how these women were helping out in this particular way. And so up to this point, I realized, you know, we focused a lot on growing our church towards sustainability, especially as last year we made that move to become an independent daughter church on our own, kind of focusing on balancing our budget, paying the bills. But we believe that God has a lot more in store for us than simply getting by, than simply setting up and tearing down every Sunday in a rental property, that we believe that God has in store for us, that ministry center that we dream about. And so for the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to really try to get that ball rolling a little bit more aggressively and try working and building up that savings towards a goal. They say that you can typically plan to borrow about twice your annual budget. So right now, we would be looking at trying to save up $200,000 to $250,000, which is probably not going to build a building, but it can make sure to secure land for us so that we are ready to respond when those opportunities come with that next wave of growth. And so here's what I want to do today. This is a long introduction to the offering, I know. But I want to ask you to prayerfully consider, is God asking you, is God calling you to step up and help build up this church? Is God calling you to help step up and build up this church? I'm not sure if that means you're going to make a $1 million gift, but maybe God is calling you to step up in your prayers, to pray for us daily, to pray for this community daily, that we can see this future reality happen, that we can see this church grow to all that God has in store for us. Is God calling you to step up and help build up this church? Like the women that Luke mentions in his gospel, Jesus has invited us to participate in his mission. And maybe you don't necessarily have the gifts to be the worship leader up front here, kind of leading. Maybe you aren't really excited about public speaking. Maybe you're not necessarily the one who's called to go out two by two. But Jesus invites us to participate in his mission in any way we can. Whether that's going out two by two, inviting somebody to come to church with us, praying for somebody, praying for healing, reaching out to those who are hurting, bringing a meal to somebody in need, being generous with the gifts that we have been given, we all can contribute to God's mission and to see his kingdom work here. And so I just want to share that little update with you as just an inspiration to think about how are we called to step up and to help build up this community. With that, let us receive our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.